Hi, Bob Burney for The Plain Truth Today, brought to you by theplaintruth.com. The other day, we did a show on when is the new year in God's calendar, and we explained how March 20th, the spring equinox, is the new year, according to the Bible. I also explained in that show how the Jewish calendar that they follow today is not the calendar that the Jews or ancient Israel ever followed in the past. It did not happen until after the Babylonian captivity and when they were repatriated back to Jerusalem during the times of Ezra and Nehemiah. And within decades of that, it seems that the Jewish religions, both the Sadducees and the Pharisees, followed what became or what was the Babylonian calendar and is not accurate. But however, some years, the Jewish Babylonian calendar does coincide with the real calendar of God, and it's pretty close this year in 2026, that is. And if we ever do a Best of Bob series here, then we're talking about 2026 here. But in recent months, the appearance of unusual phenomena in the skies, such as the appearance of blood moons, especially when they coincide with Jewish festivals, not God's festivals always, Jewish festivals. And I want to reemphasize here that Jewish holy days often are not the real holy days according to the Bible of when they should occur. Passover always follows, for example, on April 2nd and April 3rd. The night of April 2nd and the day of April 3rd. Some years, the Jewish calendar mirrors that exactly. Most years, they do not. However, among Christians who are looking for prophetic events, theologians as well, and believers who understand the calendar or not, see some of these celestial events as fulfillment of Bible prophecies of the end times. For the past 2 years, the blood moon has fallen on or around separate Jewish feasts, such as the Feast of Purim, which just occurred about a week ago, or the Feast of Trumpets in the fall, leading to a debate by biblical prophecy scholars about the coming end times. Now, we at theplaintruth.com continue to say we do not predict the end times. There is nowhere in the Bible you can decipher exactly what day the end times start. We know from the Matthew 24 prophecy, and I'll play that in a minute, what the conditions of the world will be. Many of the conditions have occurred these last 2,000 years because the apostles themselves, in their writings in the New Testament, tells you they're living in the end times. But that being said, God is pretty clever at sometimes taking even paganized holidays, God's holidays, in fact, and sometimes does allow heavenly signs to pretend, the coming of biblical events or prophecies. And there is a debate now, is that happening? Just for reference, the two blood moons of 2025 fell in March 14th, and that was the Feast of Purim back then, and September 7th around the Feast of, they're calling it the Feast of Trumpets, which really happens always September 16th, but it was within a week. This year, however, I think there is some symbolic prophetic insight into the Feast of Purim, the Blood Moon, and other events. The Feast of Purim and the Blood Moon started together on March 3rd, which is again when the nation of the modern nation of Israel, which should be called Judah. And if you want to go to the plain truth, you can understand the identities of the 12 tribes of Israel. Just briefly, all Jews are Israelites, but not all Israelites are Jewish. Jews come from the word Judah, and the homeland of the Jews in your Bible, you can look this up if you don't believe me, the Jewish nation was never called Israel when it was just Jews. They were called Judah, and the northern kingdom was called Israel, and that is because the tribe of Joseph, which are not Jewish at all, Just make this plain. Only if you come from the tribe of Judah or Levi or some Benjaminites, Paul, for example, said he was a Benjaminite, and he called himself a Jew, because he called himself a Jew because of the religion, number one, of the Jewish religion, and number two, because he was living in the land of Judah, because Jerusalem fell in the land of Judah. Ironically, Jesus was raised in the northern Galilee region, which was historically where Israel was. And the Israel, again, is wherever the tribe of Joseph is. And Joseph had two sons, which became separate tribes of Israel. The younger son, Ephraim, and the older son, Manasseh, are the people, the English people of the world. They're the Great Britain is Manasseh, and the United States of America, in prophecy, is Israel. Whenever you see the name Israel, it's the United States of America. Well, again, this year was an event that really, to me, had a lot of symbolism to it. Now, I don't know if it really portends the end of the world, as many people are trying to say. Everybody wants to predict when the end of the world is coming. But again, they don't really read the Bible or listen to the words of Jesus. And we'll play the entire Matthew 24 prophecy in a minute, and you'll understand exactly what I'm saying here, because Jesus makes it plain that no one knows the time or the hour that Christ was going to return to this earth and set up his kingdom. Not even he at that time knew it, only he said the Father God knew the time of the end. And so all of these holy rollers out there trying to tell you, well, we're living in the time of the end, well, theoretically they're right, because the Apostle John said in AD 90 they were living in the end times. But the very, very end times, the tribulation, no one knows when that happens until it happens. And when it happens, they will be told by the two witnesses that they're living in that time, because that's when the two witnesses reign. Many things have to happen before we can get into the tribulation, which has not yet occurred. We know from the prophecies of Daniel and the prophecies of Revelation, we know for a fact that there has to be a temple on the Temple Mount before the end times begin, when we're talking about the tribulation. But one thing happened last week during Purim and during the Blood Moon. Both the nation of Israel, who should be called Judah, and the real nation of Israel, England and America, were all under this Blood Moon. If you notice, the Blood Moon happened in England. It happened in the United States, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. These are all Israeli nations of the 12 tribes, the original 12 tribes, which are the 12 sons of Jacob. But this is what really happened. When Purim began, Israel and America struck Iran. Now, let's back up and understand just who Iran is in biblical prophecy, because Iran was not called Iran in your Bible. That's a modern name for a nation which was historically called Persia and Babylon. And of course, we know everything about Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. But we also know there is a story in the Bible, the story of Purim, and also the story of Esther. When the Jewish people, this was the Jewish people now, not the Israelites, but the Jewish people in captivity in Babylon faced extinction, when you read that in the book of Esther, because of the Babylonians that were evil and against God. They were anti-Israelites, they were anti-Jew, and they wanted to see all Jews killed. A lot like a lot of the world today wants to see a lot of the world's Jews killed, including a lot of commentators who claim they're not anti-Semitic, but when you just listen to them, you know they're anti-Semitic. And so we had an attack on Iran, which was Babylon, Persia, during Purim. And what does Purim stand for? The Feast of Purim is rooted in the book of Esther, and I really do recommend that the listeners here go back and read the entire book of Esther. It's very short. It's very easy to read, or you can get, actually, which I like to do, and I play it on this program, find a very good narration of the Bible. You can get it on YouTube and listen. And sometimes when you listen and read the words while you're listening, you can understand better than just reading something. You're getting both visual and audio at the same time. But I'll be back to explain Purim and what I'm talking about in this blood moon right after this break. Hi, Bob Barney for The Plain Truth Today, the place to understand prophecy, what it means and what it doesn't mean, and what your future holds according to the Bible. ThePlainTruth.com is the one place to go to understand what's happening today and if God has anything to do with it, and what your future could be, and what the Bible predicts is the future of mankind in the end times that is talked about in both Daniel and Revelation. Please go to ThePlainTruth.com every day. You have a message board with new news items and water cooler topics that you can see every day, as well as the main page of The Plain Truth with timely stories and these podcasts. And we have not only my own podcast, but we have videos and audios from around the world, from different scholars and different theologians, as well as sometimes, oftentimes, news pundits. That's ThePlainTruth.com. Go there every day. Thank you. Well, we're back, and Purim is rooted in the Book of Esther, a narrative of hidden providence unfolding within the Persian Empire, modern-day Iran. Ancient Persia, being modern-day Iran, in Esther's day, there was an anti-Jewish decree that was crafted through evil government-manipulated leaders that convinced the king to order under the direction of Haman. He was the evil person. I found us on Facebook the other day, by the way, someone pointed out that in the middle of Khomeini is Haman. Haman had a plot that was very sophisticated for the time. It was political and lethal for Jews. The decree meant for the destruction of all Jewish people. But that was reversed because of Queen Esther, who was a Jew, and no one knew it. And when she revealed herself as being a Jew and that she would be killed by Haman, the tables were turned, and she lived, the Jewish people live, and Haman and all his cohorts and their families were then killed. And the Jewish people, it's really not an Israeli celebration, though it's found in the Bible, but the Jewish people were saved by God's grace and miracles because of what Esther did. And it is just a little coincidental, as you want to say, but I don't believe in too many coincidences. God is in control and loves to send signals and symbols to all of us so we can have our eyes open. But on the day that the Israeli jets and the American jets bombed Persia, because that's what it was on a blood moon. And it was also on the day that the Feast of Purim began. And I do think there is some kind of symbolization to that whole idea. Modern Iran stands geographically and historically, and it's the people is still, by DNA, descendants of ancient Persia. When the blood moon aligns near the Feast of Purim, celebrating the reversal of the Persian aggression against them, the symbolism becomes striking. And I saw that symbolism the next morning. I was following the blood moon. I love to follow astronomical events, not astrological events, but astronomical events. But I really understood what was happening there, that there was a symbol for people to go read Esther and read how the blood moon of Revelation, for example, and the Feast of Purim and the attack by Israel and American troops. That's Israel and the real Israel, which is the kingdom of the north under Joseph, America mainly, and then also the modern-day Jewish nation, who they call Israel, united against Persia. And throughout Scripture, we see references to blood moons. For example, in Revelation 6, verse 12, the Apostle John writes, "The sun became black as sackcloth, and the moon became like blood." That's the blood moon. And if you saw some of the awesome pictures taken of this moon when it turned red, and my wife and I got up really early on the morning of the full moon, blood moon, and we looked out, we were in Florida at the time, and we were able to look out towards the Gulf of Mexico. It's not the Gulf of America, by the way. And we saw the moon as it was almost ready to go into over the horizon, over the water, and it was as red as can be, and it was absolutely quite impressive. And because it was a supermoon, that's when the moon looks the biggest, it looked huge. And there are just, if you go through the internet right now and you put in the March 3rd blood moon of 2026, you'll see some awesome photographs taken of it. The one that I liked that I saw on Facebook, for example, was it was over the Statue of Liberty, which, by the way, is a pagan symbol, because the Statue of Liberty really represents Ishtar or Easter in the Bible, which was a pagan goddess married to Tammuz. And she is the pagan goddess of Easter, which is a totally pagan holiday. And we're going to get into that because we're getting really close to not only the true Passover season, but also the Easter, so-called Christian season. And you will see, if you pay attention back when we do these stories, and we'll have a lot about it come Easter time, how pagan Easter really is and how you're not supposed to follow it. After all, what does coloring Easter eggs and rabbits have to do with Christ's death on the cross? And if you think a minute, those symbols represent paganism, fertility rites of pagan people, and nothing to do with God's word. But we also want to say, right now, I want to get into, and I said I would play it, Matthew 24. It's the most pivotal prophecy of the entire Bible. Jesus, the greatest newscaster who ever lived and walked on the face of this earth, because all of his news was real news, not fake news. And he, unlike any other newscaster, he could accurately predict the future because he's God. And he was at the time God in the flesh. And now he is God reigning in heaven, building and readying his army to return to this earth to take it away from Satan's world and turn it into God's world and set up a 1,000-year kingdom called the millennium and rule with a rod of iron. And he's going to force the nations of the world to follow the true holidays, follow the true Sabbath days as well. Sunday is not the Sabbath day, it's Saturday. And it's the only day you find in the Ten Commandments we are to follow. And it's not a Jewish thing. And it's not even an Israeli thing, an Israel thing. It is all humanity, all mankind are under the Sabbath law. Why? Adam and Eve were the first to celebrate a Sabbath, and they're the parents of every person on the face of the earth today. They are the beginning of it all. They weren't Jews. They weren't even Israelis. They were the first two human beings that gave birth to the three races of people that we have to this day on this earth. And in Matthew 24, Jesus predicts everything that's going to happen. We're going to play that in a few other verses, and you see clearly how I believe the symbolism of what happened during this so-called Feast of Purim that the Jews follow, and the war with Persia called Iran today, and the United States' involvement of this, the symbolic nature is just something you have to pay attention to if you're really believing what the Bible says will happen. Here is Matthew 24 in the English Standard Version. It's a pretty good version to listen to. It's a little easier to understand than the King James. The New King James, I think, is probably the best, but this person has a good voice and he's good to listen to. But listen to the prophecies of Matthew 24.
Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them,
"You see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down."
As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying,
"Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age?"
And Jesus answered them,
"See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ.'"
This is false Christianity that he is predicting. He is predicting here what we have seen for the last 2,000 years, that many people would come in the name of Christ, saying Christ is the Messiah, but deceive many. Most churches today are deceptive Christianity.
"And they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold.
Lawlessness will increase. Lawlessness is the breaking of God's law, the Ten Commandments. And you have churches today preaching that the law was abolished by Christ on the cross. That's lawlessness. There's only one definition that you find in the Bible, and that's found in 1 John. And he says, sin is, and he gives a definition. What is sin? Sin is the breaking of the law. When you break God's law, like you don't follow the Ten Commandments, or you don't follow the Sabbath day, you are lawless. And Christ said it would be a time that God's people would practice lawlessness. It will abound.
But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel.
And you go back to Daniel, I believe it's chapter 11. I don't have that in front of me, but I believe it's chapter 11. You go to the book of Daniel and you will see him talking about the abomination that causes desolation. It happened once before when pig's blood was sacrificed at the temple. It's going to, according to the revelation, it's going to happen again. And that is the great tribulation and the catalyst that brings Christ back to this earth.
Standing in the holy place, let the reader understand.
Notice Jesus said, standing in the holy place. This is the temple that has to be built. You go to Revelation and you can prove there has to be a Jewish temple at the time before Christ returns.
Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath.
Oh, on the Sabbath. You notice there is a Sabbath day, not a Sunday here that Christ is talking about. And that's very important to understand because the Sabbath day has not been done away with. We want a proof of a New Testament prophecy, not an Old Testament prophecy concerning the Sabbath day and the end times. You only have to go to Matthew 24. The words are in red and they're Christ speaking. And that is the idea that so many people just don't want to understand that claim to be Christians. The Sabbath day is still in force. And we're to pray, according to Christ, that this return of Christ and the Great Tribulation does not happen on the Sabbath day.
Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short.
The elect, by the way, are the Christians. They are not raptured to heaven. They're still on earth going through the great tribulation. And because of us Christians, or those Christians, I think I'm one of them, the world will be saved alive because of the sake of the elect.
Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. So, if they say to you, look, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man.
the lightning here is a mistranslation I have correctly in the Plain Truth Bible. It's the sun. When is the lightning of the comes out of the east and to the west, that if you looked at it would blind you? It's sunrise, and it's the sun, and that's what's being talked about here.
Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father.
But the Father only. We'll pick that up right in a minute. But no one knows. So stop listening to people who try to predict when it's going to happen. Christ didn't even know.
Only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Can you in any way take what was just said there, that we know, or we can know, the day that Christ returns? We can know the general time frame, which is nowhere close. As I said, there is no two witnesses. There is no temple of God. There is none of the things that Christ mentions here and then again in Revelation about the kingdom of God's coming to this earth, brought by none other than Jesus Christ, to return this earth to peace and serenity and to obedience of God's law, which has never been abolished. This is Bob Barney for The Plain Truth Today, brought to you by theplaintruth.com. Thank you for listening. Until tomorrow, bye-bye.